All right, welcome to church. We have one announcement that we want to go over before we get into the message. And that announcement is we have the Gospel 102 class coming up for us this Saturday. For those of you who have taken Gospel 101, we talked about what the gospel is. And so during Gospel 102, we want to talk a little bit more about how do we live out the gospel? How does the reality of the gospel impact the way we go to work, we engage with others when we take classes and so forth, just in the everyday walk of life, how do we live out the gospel? So once again, it's going to be on the 8th of July, Saturday, 3 p.m. at the City Center. And so if you are coming to the class, please sign up for it online. And once again, we really want to try to cultivate this culture of togetherness. And so if you're going to be coming, I really want to encourage you, don't come alone, right? That doesn't mean, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit is coming with you, which is great. They're going to be there too. But come with another person, and let's experience it together, okay? All right. Building blocks, you guys are dismissed. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. We're going to be looking at chapter 10. Verses 11 through 16. Chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. Hopefully you guys are ready for the fourth weekend. I thought, actually, before we get into the Word of God, you know, this is the summer for us. We're a little bit smaller. Hopefully that means we're a little bit more intimate. We have a little bit more freedom during our celebration times to not go through the usual stuff that we go through. So, and one of the things that we're really trying to do in our church is also to cultivate this culture where we share our testimonies with one another. Stories of what God is doing in our lives, maybe the challenges that we're experiencing. And testimonies doesn't necessarily always mean positive things, right? Sometimes it's through our failures and struggles that God uses us and he teaches us and he blesses us. And not only us, but he uses us to bless others as well. So I thought it'd be really cool for us to maybe share a quick testimony with one another before we start our message together. So whether it's maybe like you think about the 3-2-1 goal that we have for the summer, maybe you went out to pray for people on Friday as a life group or whatever it may be, or maybe you don't necessarily have a testimony of what God is doing. That's all right. Maybe you can just share with another person how your week was and maybe some things that you were able to learn throughout your week. So I thought it'd be really cool for us to maybe share our stories with one another before we get started, all right? And hopefully that'll infuse some energy into this place as well. So can I ask you to do this? Can you just turn to the person next to you, whoever is sitting next to you? If you don't know them, go ahead and introduce yourself to them. Hi, my name is so-and-so. And just ask them, how was your week, right? Like, what is the testimony that God is writing in your life? Or if they're not a believer, just ask them, like, how was your week? And I don't know, let's take about the next 5 minutes or so to share our testimonies with one another. So can we do that together? All right. Good. How was it? Was it encouraging? Yeah. Some of you are like, yeah, it was all right. Don't worry, we won't do this every Sunday, right? Maybe every other. I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. So John chapter 10, we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 16. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. Let's go ahead and start off by reading this passage together. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. And it says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. So we're continuing on in our series for the summer, the I Am Statements of Jesus. We've been on this journey of really discovering who Jesus is and what he said about himself. And so so far we've talked about how he declared that he is the bread of life, how he is the light of the world. And last week we talked about how he is the door for the sheep. And actually today is a continuation of that thought where he declares himself to be the good shepherd. And so as people are listening to what Jesus is declaring, they would have known right away, or a couple things would have popped into their minds, so to speak, because this would have been a very powerful imagery that Jesus would have used, and it would have worked on two levels. So as the audience was listening to what Jesus is saying, it would have resonated with them on two levels, right? So for the first level, they would have easily been able to identify with what Jesus is saying because, unlike our days, shepherds were very common. They were the working class of Jesus' days. But it's as if Jesus was to come and he would have said something like, I am a CS major who codes every day, right? Majority would have been, or maybe not, some of you have been like, yes, I know what he's talking about, right? At least we have that context. And so it would have resonated because this is the common working folks that you see day in and day out. But not only that, what they would have also realized is really the commitment of the shepherd towards the sheep. And so this is what one commentary speaks or talks about. And let me go and read this for us. And I quote, and it's talking about the shepherd during Jesus' day. And I quote, in early morning, he, being the shepherd, led forth the flock from the fold, marching at its head to the spot where they were to be pastured. As he watched them all day, taking care that none of the sheep strayed, and if any for a time eluded his watch and wandered from the rest, seeking diligently till he found and brought it back. In those lands, sheep required to be supplied regularly with water, and the shepherd for this purpose had to guide them either to some running stream or to wells dug in the wilderness and furnished with troughs. At night, he brought the flock home to the fold, counting them as they passed under the rod at the door to assure himself that none were missing, nor did his labors always end with sunset. Often he had to guard the fold through the dark night from the attacks of the wild beast or the wily attempts of the prowling thief, and I unquote. So they would have understood that not only is it a shepherd, but it's actually people who work very hard and diligently, who express care and concern over the flock. And so not only on that level, but on another level, they would have understood this imagery because, once again, what we talked about last Sunday, that they ascribed the God of Israel as the shepherd. Verses like Psalm 23:1, where it declares that the Lord is my shepherd. Once again, Psalm 95:7, it writes, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And Ezekiel 34:11-16, it says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep. So I will care for my sheep, and I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. So the people would have understood that not only is Jesus talking to them about the shepherds that they see, but when Jesus declares himself to be the shepherd, that ultimately he is saying, I am God, because they would have understood the God of Israel to be their shepherd. Now for us, when we hear these words, these are very familiar words because, you know, especially for those of us who grew up in the church, when you are part of a children's ministry, one of the things that you learn about who Jesus is that you learn that he is a shepherd. And so even though we might not necessarily have too many shepherds roaming in our streets, right, with a flock of sheep following after them, but when you hear these words that Jesus is our shepherd, I think you would think of this imagery of someone who cares for us, someone who guides us, and someone who leads us. And so that's what we want to talk about this afternoon. When Jesus declares that he is our shepherd, what is it that he is exactly declaring? Okay? So the one thing I want to start off with this afternoon simply is this. The one thing is Jesus abandoned his life so that you can experience an abundance of life. Okay? Jesus abandoned his life so that you can experience an abundance of life. It's a tongue twister a little bit. Turn to the person next to you and see if you can repeat that. There you go. Jesus abandoned his life so that you can experience an abundance of life. So there's two observations that we want to make from this passage. First of all, we want to talk about the shepherd's care for the sheep. And then we're going to close off by talking about the shepherd's concern. Okay? So let's talk about the shepherd's care. We see that in verses 11 through 15, the shepherd's care. It says, I am the good shepherd. That's how verse 11 starts off. And what Jesus is saying, it's very clear, right? He is saying that he is our shepherd and we are actually his sheep. And so he's our shepherd who leads us. He's our shepherd who provides for us. He's our shepherd who protects us. And we are his sheep who are called to follow our shepherd. And so these verses really express the shepherd's care over his sheep. How does Jesus, exactly the good shepherd, express his care and his concern over our lives, being our shepherd? And so it's interesting, when Jesus declares himself to be the shepherd, he doesn't just say that I am the shepherd. He actually says that I am the good shepherd. Now think about what that means. Because I don't know about you, but at least for me, when I've read these verses before, I've kind of skipped over the word good, right? I mean, I know that it's there and I kind of understand what it is, but think about what this really means when Jesus declares himself to be the good shepherd. What that means, that Jesus is good in every situation that we face in our lives. Because I was thinking about this, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we do question, right, whether he really is good or not. When circumstances might not necessarily be favorable, or when Jesus doesn't seem to be giving us what we want, or when the path that he is leading us towards seems difficult and maybe costly, we're thinking, is Jesus really good? Is he really true to his word that he is the good shepherd? And so Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Regardless of the situations that you face in your life, I am the good shepherd. Now in this, what Jesus is declaring simply is, first of all, it means that he leads us. So when we think about the shepherd's care, the first thing that we observe is that he is a good shepherd because he leads us. Right? So think about what Jesus is declaring. When he says that I am the good shepherd, what he is saying is that I am the shepherd who leads you, because that's the job of a shepherd. And so not only that, but we have to understand that verse in the context of what Jesus was saying before, because this is one continuous thought. And so previously what we've talked about is that Jesus declares himself to be the door. And if you jump up to verse 10, he says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. So in other words, Jesus is good, meaning that he always leads us to an abundant life. So we have to think about then, what is this abundant life that he is always leading us to? Because I think many of us know that the abundant life necessarily isn't the life that we think that we need. And oftentimes it's very contrary to what we think that we need. In fact, Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. Once again, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. So that means that even though you might think that, okay, this is the correct way or the correct path, but it might not necessarily be the path that leads to abundance of life. In fact, the Word of God says that it might actually lead to death. In fact, when you think about Jesus and his life, when he calls his disciples to engage in, the way that he described this path of abundant life, he described it this way. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. Now, when you hear these words, it doesn't really seem like that would be an abundant life. So first of all, Jesus is calling me to deny myself. And then not only that, but he's calling me to take up this cross, which means I have to die to myself every single day. And not only do we do this once, but it's a call to do this every single day. We wake up in the morning, we deny ourselves, we take up the cross, and then we follow after him, and then we go to bed, and we wake up again, we deny ourselves, we take up the cross, and we follow after him. You're thinking, how in the world is this an abundant life? I think what Jesus is talking about and what his life points us to ultimately is a life that is filled with joy. And it's a life that is filled with joy because it's not a life that is dependent on circumstances. It's not a life that is dependent on what we're able to achieve, but ultimately it's a life that is rooted in God himself. And so the life that Jesus is pointing us to when he says, I am the good shepherd and I'm leading you into this abundant life, what he is doing is pointing us back to God and saying, look, you need to root yourself back into the heart of God. Because that's what you were created for. The purpose of the shepherd is so that the sheep will thrive. And the shepherd leads the sheep, even though it might not necessarily make sense to the sheep, so that they can experience an abundance of life. And that's what Jesus says. When you think about Jesus declaring himself to be your shepherd, that Jesus lets you know, look, I am the one who is leading you. I'm the one who's in charge. When you think about it, his leadership over our lives, it's not always to take us through this path of least resistance. And I don't know if you've heard, but you know, we talk about this from time to time. When you think about a good shepherd, especially in Jesus's context, it's not a person who always gives into what the sheep wants. In fact, it's the complete opposite. Right? We have this imagery of Jesus being a good shepherd, Jesus being gentle and mild and meek. But actually, when you think about the shepherds of Jesus' day, these are the guys who drive the pickup trucks. Right? These are the guys who are like masculine. These are the guys who know how to work with their hands. And so what they would do from time to time if a sheep kept on going astray, because the job of the shepherd is to make sure that the sheep is following, but if the sheep doesn't follow the shepherd, and if the sheep has a record of going astray, then what they would do is they would take the sheep, meh, they would break its legs, and they would carry the sheep on the shoulder until the legs finally healed. And then that sheep never left the side of the shepherd. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean that Jesus is going to break my leg? I was thinking that would be awesome, but no. Right? That would be such a, Jesus will break your legs. Wow. But it does mean that the way that he leads you, it's not necessarily through the path of least resistance. But rather, it's a path that is always going to challenge you and build you up. And sometimes that building process means that there is resistance, right? Like my wife and I, we committed to working out together. And so we started lifting weights together. I bought a little bench to put upstairs. And so we were bench pressing, and she was using her 3 pounds, and then she graduated to 5 pounds. And it's tough. So the morning after, I asked her, I was like, are you sore? She's like, I think I'm okay. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, give her heavier weights. All right. What happens when you lift? There's resistance. There's pain. And it's the same thing when you think about Jesus declaring himself to be the good shepherd, and you're thinking, God, in my situation, I can't see that you are good. And maybe it's not because, maybe it's because you're not seeing your situation through the eyes of the shepherd. That his ultimate goal for you is to shape your life so that in Romans 8, 28 through 29, it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, those who are called according to his purpose." Now, when it talks about those who love God, all things work for the good. Work for the good of what? 29, it goes on and says, "For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." In other words, all things work for your good so that you are being conformed to the image of who Christ is. And so when Jesus declares that I am the good shepherd, that I am leading you, what he is in fact speaking into your life is, I'm going to take you on this journey, on this path that is going to be necessary so that you are being conformed to his image. Not only that, but the second thing that we see is that he is committed to us. So Jesus says, the good shepherd, and we're going on in verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he makes this interesting comparison, right? He says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. When he leads us, we can follow him because we know that he is committed to us. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And what Jesus says is, I am not a hired hand. And so when you think about the shepherd versus the hired hand, in everyday situation of life, I mean, there really isn't a difference because the hired hand is also paid to lead the sheep. So they will lead the sheep, they will care for the sheep. But what Jesus says is, you see the difference when the wolf comes. Because when the wolf comes, the hired hand says what? It's either the sheep or me. And I'm more important. So see you later. Versus Jesus says, because this is my sheep, that he is willing to stand between himself, between his flock and the wolf. And what Jesus is wanting to remind us this afternoon simply is this truth, this wonderful truth, that he is committed to us because we belong to him. Think about that, that you belong to God. In other words, what he is saying is that he cares deeply about your well-being. He cares deeply about your security because that's what a shepherd brings into the heart of the sheep. And he's not necessarily just talking about the here and now, the struggles that we face on a daily basis. But I think what he's talking about ultimately is that eternal security. That the wolf here doesn't necessarily represent the daily trials and the difficulties. And I'm not necessarily saying that Jesus doesn't care what we go through on a daily basis. Yes, he does. But ultimately, I think what he's talking about is sin and death. Because what he's alluding to is his death. And when he died for our sins, it's not so that we can live this peaceful life, never having any difficulty, but ultimately it's to conquer sin and death. Because that's the ultimate enemy. And as he conquers sin and death over our lives, he brings freedom so that even in the midst of the daily struggles that we experience and face, that we can know the heart of God, that we can tap into his power for us that is able to sustain us. It means that Jesus, he died for our sins on the cross. And so that as we stand before God, God declares us blameless because we belong to Jesus. Right? Think about what that means.
And for me, I don't have to think that far. I don't have to go to the beginning of the week and think about, okay, what is it that God is declaring me to be blameless over my life? Because even today, when I woke up in the morning, I know that there are many things that went into my head, many things that I didn't do that I should have done. It means that as we come before the Lord, even today, as we enter into his house, that God doesn't give us what we deserve. He is committed to us. But not only that, but he goes on. And the third characteristic of a good shepherd is that ultimately he knows us. In verse 14, once again, he reiterates that he is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Right? Think about what Jesus, he's not just saying that I know about you, right? Because we kind of know about one another. But he's saying, I know the way that I know my Father. Just as I know the Father and the Father knows me, that's how I know who you are. And so when you think about how the Father knows the Son and how the Son knows the Father, John 10:30 tells us when Jesus declared, I and the Father are one. In other words, there is this intimacy in how they know one another. When Jesus says that I know you, what he is saying is ultimately I know you inside out. That he knows everything. That he knows our fears, he knows our dreams, he knows our failures, he knows our hopes. He knows our tendencies, right? He knows everything. And really, when you think about it, that's kind of scary. I don't know about you, but I find that a little bit disturbing because I, to a certain degree, like people knowing me, but only to a certain level. Because if they know really who I am to the deepest part of me, that means that I'm completely exposed and no one likes to be exposed, right? But the beautiful thing about how Jesus knows us is that not only does he expose us, but then as he exposes us, he covers us, and he says, despite what I know, I still love you. That I am the good shepherd. Despite what I know, I am still willing to lay down my life for you. That he still chooses to love us. And it's not just this, he knows you, but he knows you so intimately. And the awesome thing about what Jesus is saying is that not only does Jesus know us, but we're also able to know him. We're also able to experience this intimacy in our relationship with our shepherd. Right? The amazing thing about the sheep and the shepherd, and I'm sure many of you have heard this illustration, the shepherds would come together, and what they would do is they would put all of their sheep in the same pen. And in the morning, they would call out to their sheep. And the amazing thing is that the sheep always responded to the voice of the shepherd. So that when you called out to your sheep, like Bob's sheep would not follow you. Versus when Bob called out to his sheep, your sheep would not follow Bob because your sheep knew your voice. Jesus is the good shepherd, meaning that he leads you, that he is committed to you, and he knows you inside out. And not only the shepherd's care, but let's close with this. We see the shepherd's concern as well, and we see this in verse 16. Jesus goes on and he says this, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Right? Now think about what Jesus is saying here and who he is saying this to. So what he's saying is that he has sheep that are not of this fold. And the fold that he's talking about is what? The people of Israel, right? Because he is speaking to the people, and this people that he is speaking to, they're 100% Jewish people. And what he is communicating is really the heart of God. And what he is also doing is reminding the Jewish people of their purpose. That when you think about the Old Testament and the way in which God called his people, the reason why God set his affections on the Jewish people, it's not because somehow they were greater, somehow they were better, but it's because through this small group of insignificant people that God was going to demonstrate who he was, his love, his grace, his mercy, his holiness, his righteousness, his justice. And as they were called to be set apart, not only were they called to be set apart, but ultimately they were called to be a living witness, to invite the other nations so that they could experience the worship of this living God. And what Jesus is communicating is ultimately what? That he is not just the God of the Jews, but he is also God of the nations. Now, this is important for us, because when we talk about passages like Jesus declaring himself to be the good shepherd, we have to understand he's not just your shepherd, but he is the shepherd of the flock, which means he is going to move, he is going to lead that's in the best interest of the flock. So which means that we don't necessarily live our lives, that he is not calling us to live our lives according to what is best for us, but he leads us so that we can be a blessing to others. Which means that as he leads you, that sometimes it's not going to be to your liking. Sometimes it might not necessarily be to, at least in your perspective, your benefit. But he is a good shepherd that through your struggle, that he is going to bless others. That he is a good shepherd so that through the discomfort, through the trials that you face, that he will use that to reach out to those who are not part of the fold. And I think ultimately what Jesus is communicating to us, it's not somehow that he is the shepherd who is going to do that work. He is going to do that work, but he's going to do that work through us. And so if we are part of his fold, then we have to understand the heart of a shepherd. And that's why it's never enough for us to come together to enjoy this biblical community with one another. That's why it's never enough for us to come and hang out and grow. That's why it's never enough for us to come and get our needs met. But it's always God pressing us forward so that as we are able to understand the heart of the shepherd, that we go and we invite others so that they can experience the good shepherd in their lives as well. And that's why it's never enough for us as sheep to live in the comforts of the pen. But every morning he leads us. Which means every day he's going to lead you. He will lead you to others. Because Jesus makes it very clear that I have others who are not part of the flock. And you know, the amazing thing is, even as he declares this, that's what Jesus is doing today. And that's what he is reminding his church, that this is why we exist. We exist because why? Because of Jesus. Because we are called to follow, to be his body. And the work that he is constantly pointing us to, it's not this work of self-improvement. But it's this work of inviting others to go and to seek and save those who are lost. Not that we are able to save them ourselves, but we introduce them to the one who is able to save them. And I think it's really challenging to think about. Jesus' concern is not only for you, but his concern is for others. Jesus is the good shepherd. And he calls you to dwell in his love for you. And Jesus is the good shepherd who, through your life, will call out to others to receive that love and that forgiveness as well. When Jesus declares himself to be the good shepherd, he is saying, "This is how I care for you. And this is my concern that I place in your heart." Let's close out together. Can we stand together as we close out? You know, when I think about this passage of Jesus speaking and communicating his love and his concern and his care and his commitment to us, I think about grandparents, because that's like the best job in the world. The reason why I say that is because we had our in-laws visiting, and like, I can't wait to be grandparents, right? Because you get to play with the grandchildren, you get to enjoy them, you see them growing up, but then you can leave.